G'day, and thanks for joining us again here at Once When I Was Cool, a podcast that comes to you sort of infrequently now, sets the bar of low expectations. My name's Dave, and joining me is Wee. How are you, Wee?
Yeah, Dave, I'm good, thanks. It's been a little bit of a while between drinks, and as you said, infrequent episodes is how we roll these days. I think that's part of our style and our gig.
I think it's also because we record late at night over the internet, and at the end of a long day, more often than not, we've hit the age where you think, oh, I'd rather just go to bed.
There's that, and then it's like, yeah, we keep making plans, and then for some reason something comes up.
Or someone can't be bothered, or we run out of ideas or something like that.
Always ideas, they're just infrequent.
Or they come at the most inopportune moment and you don't write them down.
Yeah, I need to put a notepad beside my bed for lots of things.
But you've come up with a banger of a topic this evening, or today, or whenever you're listening.
Yeah, it's one that we've covered little bits and pieces on, and so I'm just going to kick straight into it. And I know this is a favourite of yours. So.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my turn.
Yeah, your turn. So, Dave, once when I was cool, we were into cricket.
And, mate, as you know, and as anyone that's a long-time listener or somebody who's heard a few episodes before, I never miss the opportunity to talk about cricket. I do love it, and I apologise to any of you who are listening from a country that isn't involved in cricket. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. And cricket sort of evolved, especially it was one of those pastimes as a kid, you know, in winter sports was usually rugby league or soccer or something like that. And then in summer, it was all about cricket.
Yep. No other sport bar cricket. That was pretty much it. So summertime cricket, and in Australia, I can't believe that we just stand outside for long periods of time in the heat of summer, and we thought it was good. It wasn't just for one day. Sometimes it was up to 5 days.
Yeah.
A test.
Yeah, so. And always used to look at once a year. My father and I would always go up to the test cricket in Brisbane. We'd go up and stay overnight. We'd go for two days of it, usually day two and three, which was usually the weekend. And yeah, that was a bit of a tradition that I always look back fondly on the time that I had with my father, because my sisters weren't interested at all. And my mum, I don't know, it just seemed to be a father-son sort of thing. And we'd always get tickets in the stand, never sat on the hill. My dad, being a policeman, never liked being around drunk people, except when he was drunk himself, which, you know, as we got older, wasn't that often. But he... Yeah, we always used to do it. Really enjoyed it.
I have to say and be honest with you, I have never been to a cricket game in my life.
Yeah, and I think you brought that up in one of the other episodes we talked about, that you'd never been to. Have you not? Is it just a test match, or you've never been to the actual cricket, cricket game?
I've never been to a cricket game in my life.
Oh, man, that's upsetting.
Well, it's just one of those things where, you know, I really didn't play. I only played junior cricket and cricket at school, but
and backyard cricket, of course.
Always backyard cricket.
Your parents had the yard that you'd be able to smash big runs on.
Yeah. Oh, mate, it was awesome. We'll get into that a bit later, but
yeah, well, that's a shame you've never been. I live down in Hobart now, and Hobart's one of the old fashioned, old traditional grounds. They've been done up a bit, but it's still got the hill that's a general admission area that people can stand on and stand or sit on. And there's a couple of stands for ticketed seating, and they play Australian rules football there occasionally in the winter. But yeah, going to Belreeve Oval or Blundstone Arena that it's called now is a real classic. It's just that old fashioned venue. It's in the middle of houses, so it's in suburbia. And when you go to the state games that not many people go to, games of limited interest, I usually go and we'll sit for a couple of sessions because it's free to get in. You can park pretty much at the front gate and just walk in and out as you like. And to be quite honest, more often than not, I'm probably one of the youngest people there of the stunning crowd of about 35.
Yeah, that's on a good day, is it?
Well, yeah, on a sunny day, it might get up to about 50 of people coming and going, but it's really... It's a really nice atmosphere. As I said, I'm a cricket tragic, and really love the cricket. And I can go and sit there. But the thing about it is it's got all the representative players in some form of another, because they play so many different forms of cricket these days that there's always somebody of note in there. And you can actually sit in the stand, sit wherever you like, because it's free. You can sort of sit wherever, but you can hear them actually talking to each other. You can sit close up to the dugouts and see, you know, you see all the players just sort of milling around if they're batting, or the fielders. Yeah, it's a really nice atmosphere.
So if I'm not mistaken, and please tell me this is where my ignorance reigns supreme, and not only just for this topic, I suppose for most topics. The scoreboard, I believe, is still old school, where they're actually putting the numbers in and out, or is it gone to electronic?
No, it's all electronic now. It's all digital.
Oh, what a shame.
The only place that still has one of those is Adelaide Oval in South Australia. And it's a heritage. But saying that, they've still got the two Jumbotron screens that you know, do the full replays and have the scoreboards and everything, but it's a heritage listed scoreboard, so they won't ever get rid of that. And people, you know, in the game still man it, so they get up with the big boards and change the boards out, and they, you know, roll the numbers over and do all that and whatnot.
Yeah, So I knew there was one cricket oval that's still oval or cricket field?
Well, it's usually used to always be an oval, but now they've become more than a cricket oval now, with the exception of Belreef in Tasmania. They're all more arenas now than anything else. They're more sports stadiums than they are actual cricket ovals anymore, and they're multi-purpose, and they have bands and they have all other sorts of sports on there as well.
So if that's the case, I mean, the only thing I ever had to do with cricket when I was a young fella was when I played soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, depending on which part of the world you're in. It used to have a cricket pitch in the middle of the soccer field. And because it was a grass one and it was rolled down, geez, I tell you, going, doing a slide tackle on that always used to carve you up, and you'd come out with, you know, grass burns, you know, right up your leg. You'd slip on it when it was moist because it was so hard. It was like walking on tiles at times.
Mm. I played rugby union in Kalgoorlie, and Kalgoorlie is notoriously dry in the middle of the desert. And so the grass on the football field was hard enough as it was to grow, but there was always the cricket pitch in the middle of the ground there, and you always hoped you didn't get tackled on that because you used to take skin off your left, right, and center.
Yeah, that's fond memories of that. The other thing note is I remember playing at school. We always had the cricket nets. And I remember playing it, you know, in the cricket nets, and it was right next to, there was a house next, straight next to the school, and the amount of windows that got, you know, knocked in and on the roof, and, you know, you almost felt bad for them, but, you know, it was the joys.
Yeah, and a lot of the ones at school, particularly in the schoolyard, they'd always have the half-length concrete slab, which rather than being 20 yards, it was only about 10 or 11 yards long, so it was only half. And if someone couldn't bowl the ball properly, invariably they hit the edge of it and it'd fly any which way and you'd have to duck your head. Fortunately, at school, though, they only ever played with tennis balls, so it was usually okay. The other thing was that they're always concrete. So, you know, a cricket ball is hard. For anyone who's not familiar with a cricket ball, it's probably a bit bigger than, a baseball type size. And it's, made of leather. Yeah. It's harder than a softball. Not quite as hard as a hi-fi ball. But it's, it's a hard ball. And it's got stitching around the center of it to, you know, keep the pieces together. And yeah, they are. They're hard and they hurt. But when they come bouncing off the concrete, man, they really move.
And you never know if it's going to bounce up or if it's just going to hit it and sort of skid off it.
Or hit you in the nuts.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing. You never ever wore. All you had was one pad. That was usually your forward pad. And that was it. And there was always invariably some, you know, fast bowler that would always want to rain it down on you really hard, and it's like
there's always some maniac that just could bowl fast and could really sling it in, and always enjoyed trying to hurt somebody rather than actually for the love of the gentlemanly art of the game.
Yes, I concur.
So, and that was never me, unfortunately.
No,
I was never that quick. I could always bowl from a young age. I could. The idea of bowling is to be able to roll your arm over with your elbow perfectly straight and let the ball go and project it towards the batsman. But I could always do that, but never fast.
But to give some, you know, some
context,
context and perspective to the listener out there, Shaniqua, what up?
What up?
You know, a cricket pitch, if I'm not mistaken, is 22 yards, and it has three wickets in it.
At either end, three stumps.
At either end, three stumps. And then they're running in and bowling over 22 yards up to, and this is professionally, up to sometimes 150 kilometres an hour.
Or so just under 100 miles, about 95 miles an hour.
Yeah. And that's what they call a fast bowler or a paceman. Then you have, going back the other way, all the way down, you've got different paces, and then you've got the spin bowlers. Now, the spin bowlers can even whip them down, and they do like a three-step run-in, and then they use their fingers and their wrists and the way they hold it to make the ball spin. And when it hits the ground, it goes different directions. And for all of you out there, God rest his soul, Shane Warne was one of the best ever spin
probably
bowlers.
Probably the best ever.
Ever. And as everyone in the world probably knows, he's passed away this year. But in saying that, he'd still pitch them down at 100 kilometres an hour, so 60 mile an hour from three steps in. So the other guys,
and I'm sure his shoulder by the end of it was probably like chalk because he probably did that over 100,000 times.
Over his
career.
So then you've got it's the same technique, little bit different in the way that they run in, but for the pacemen, they're running about probably 30 yards, you know, so about, you know, 15, 20 metres, running in at pace and then slinging these balls down. And so you've got usually the pacemen are fairly tall. I was never any good as a bowler because I'm short and they sort of couldn't get the right bounce on it. So these guys are pretty tall, and by the time they let it go and it hits the ground and goes up to the batsman, they've got less than, what, 0.5 of a second to make a decision on whether
I think even less than that. I think it's like 0.1 for the really fast bowlers, 0.1, 0.2.
To make a decision on where they're going to try and hit the ball, leave the ball, move
and
out of the way.
And try and make sure it doesn't hit the stumps or their legs. Yeah. So tell me, where you said you played backyard cricket, and backyard cricket, there were various rules and things like that. And we used to have things like the electric wicket keeper, which was when you played in front of a big wall or in front of a garage door or something like that. If you nicked the ball and it hit behind, it was assumed you were out because you were caught. And then you would have over the fence, which was six and out. You used to have, what was it? The one bounce, one hand. So if it bounced in front of you and you caught it with one hand rather than two, the person was out as well. Any other
Couldn't get out first ball.
Oh, that's right. That was another one. That was one we carried into junior cricket, so everyone had a go. But, you know, I was pretty good at getting out second ball plenty of times. Any other sorts of rules?
We used to play in front of my dad, being the great craftsman and builder that he was, built this bird cage, and the bird cage is what we used. So we had budgies and everything in it. So the bird cage ended up being the auto wiki, you know, and we were over to one side, so it was like having slips. So you know, you hit it sort of. And slips are people that stand behind the wicket keeper. So the wicket keeper
off to the side
has gloves that catches the ball when it powers through. So the other thing that we had, you know, six and out. If you hit the house on the full, you're out.
If you hit a window, you're always in trouble.
Oh, geez. My dad, for some reason, many, many, many years ago, as long as I can remember, decided to put aluminium on the outside of the house instead of wood sheeting. It was like a aluminium sheeting that went over the wood. So you smack a ball warm into that.
Warm in summer, cold in winter.
Yep. You smack a ball into that. You'd light the whole house up with noise, and Jesus, did we hit it and run, especially even with a soccer ball. It was even worse. You know, you'd but we, you know, if you hit the clothesline, so we used to have automatic filters.
Oh, yes, yes.
So if you hit a tree on the full, or you hit the clothesline on the full, hit anything on the full. The only thing even where we sort of played was near a shed. It was sort of, we were about 2 meters in from a shed, and it was on the offside, so the side that you had your back to when you were batting if you were right-handed. You know, if you hit that on the full, that was, you were out there as well. So pretty much similar sort of rules to, I think, just about everyone.
We used to play at school, and we used to have a concrete pitch set up in the middle, and it was always the oldest kids got to play on that. And then the younger crew would always find somewhere else that they had to play and go through those sorts of things. But when I think I've talked about it before, is when we went to high school, there was a whole new game where it was like a prison brawl, and there'd be all these boys standing around, gathering around, all clamoring to get the ball. And they had a tennis ball that had one side was covered in electrical tape, so that it moved in the air, so it would swing. So one side would move faster and the other side would have drag, so it would swing. And they'd come in as fast as they could, and there was usually a bin there for your stumps, and then there was usually about 8 or 10 people standing behind the bin, all as wicketkeeper and slips and everything. And the idea wasn't to actually score runs, it was just to survive. It was a bit Mad Max, really. And so there'd always be someone come steaming in with this ball and throw from probably, I reckon, maybe 10 meters, about 12 yards at the most, and just come hurling it in as hard as they could, trying to hit the bin, or if they didn't hit the bin, hit you in the head so that you, you know, because it was always hardest to get your bat up there as quick as you can. And then whoever got the ball, then it was their turn to come and inflict damage. And there were some dudes you just knew were just out to hurt you and do whatever they could. And every so often, someone would get the ball and they would throw it to this particular kid. Oh, man, you knew you're in for a bad time then. And then once the wicket got hit, whoever got him out, it's their turn to bat and it all starts again. So, the schoolyard brutality continued.
And that's pretty much, I think it's pretty much been the same across all of Australia when you think about it.
It's schools
back in the day, and I'm sure they do crazy stuff like that overseas, that in the countries that play cricket, and I think that's just about every country in the world. It's
the dominant powerhouse sport that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never played, sorry, you were going to say?
I was going to say the other thing we used to play at school was tipsy cricket, tip and run.
We'd call it hit and run, yeah.
Yeah.
If you got the bat on there at all, you had to run regardless of where it was. Yeah. And another rule of cricket is that you can be run out, a bit like in baseball, if you're tagged out before you get to the base. It's a similar sort of thing.
You've got to knock the bails off.
You've got to knock the bails off before the person gets behind the white line.
So that was always fun, because even when you were if you were batting and you'd done a really dodgy and you hit it to someone and you had to run, it was always because you're playing with those tennis balls, that it was like, do you try and get in between them so they couldn't hit the stumps?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yeah,
running through and smacking it with.
Yeah. And a lot of the times you wouldn't be close to it, but you'd still be running and they'd still peg the ball at you rather than at the stumps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, and then there was the French cricket, where and they used to play that in PE sometimes, and that way everyone could get a bit of a go. And I think the teacher must have just forgot what his class plan was for the day, so he just went, "Yeah, okay, I'll just do
Yeah.
Just do French cricket, because and French cricket was basically you had to stand facing wherever the ball was, and yep. you had like a drum for a wicket, and then you had to stand with the bat in front of you, and then you had to hit it, and wherever, because it was a round drum, wherever the ball landed, whoever got it, they just underarmed it.
Yeah, from there, yeah. Yeah, and so from there, you never played junior cricket? You never played like weekend Saturday cricket?
I played a little bit when I was probably around 10, two seasons or something.
I was similar. I played when I was in primary school, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it on the weekend, just more to get out and do things than anything else. I was never particularly good. Ruby always used to tell me how good I was, but I think that was just a mother's pride, blinded by the fact that I was mediocre at best. But some of the things you used to do that we mentioned before, there was always one kid that had the full kit, had everything bought for him. And then there was other kids that had just turned up to play and they'd borrow everything. And like you said, there was always mostly that you're running shorter pads. So they would wear one pad out rather than two when you're in the juniors, and it was a forward leg. So you could just try and get it there. And occasionally one would sneak through. It was a different ball though as well. It wasn't the full leather and cork ball. And it was usually on, what are the turf pitches? It was concrete with a bit of fake grass. It wasn't even really AstroTurf because it wasn't soft. But the other things he used to do, I remember you'd be walking off after you got out and the other kid coming out would have nothing on. And so you'd stop halfway through and you'd undo your pads. And they weren't the good Velcro pads. They were the pads with the buckle and a strap, like a pair of sandals, and it'd have three of them. And you'd always, because you only ever wore shorts, you'd always pinch the one behind your knee every time in summer, and then it'd start to swell. But you'd have it on one leg, and then they'd give you their bat as well. And more importantly is they'd reach down their dacks and give you the box as well. There was like two communal boxes that everyone had to use. So when we talk about a box, that's a cup or a protector for your underpants parts. And, you know, that'd go down the front of your dacks. And we never thought anything of it. And when you think about it, it would be all manky and horrible. And even though you're only little kids, it was something that was actually quite rotten. Because I'm sure they never got washed out at the end of the day. And God forbid they ever got washed out at the end of the season. But you'd be walking on and you'd be doing a full kit change and never thought anything of it. And I mean, gosh. You know, health and safety, and God, that's how monkeypox started.
Well, sounds like it. I don't know what you'd call it on the pox down there. Just call it the pox.
Mm.
But you're right, because you couldn't put it in between your shorts. You'd have to put it on.
Because it always fall out the leg, no matter how hard you try. And you'd see one kid start to run, and it'd fall off, and he'd stop to pick it up, and
instead of running to the other end. And like sometimes it was like, you know, I'm just going to chance it, and it doesn't matter. Even if you do get hit while you got a box on, it doesn't do anything.
No.
Doesn't do a thing.
No.
It just makes it rattle.
Yeah. It just makes it rattle and makes everybody giggle.
I don't know what's fun about that, but it seems to make everyone else around you laugh. It's like getting hit in the funny bone. I don't know what's funny about it.
But it's always funny for somebody else, and it's always hard not to laugh at it. I've given up trying not to laugh now. I laugh uproariously at it because I know that people will do the same for me. I tried. Yeah. I used to always try to say, okay. So that was sort of the end of my my cricketing career, sort of ended when I went to high school, and primarily because I didn't like getting hit with the ball. I was always worried that I was going to get hit by the ball, and I wasn't really brave like that, so I decided to go surfing, which was much safer.
Yeah, the only thing that gets you there is the sharks or another board to the head.
No.
But Dirk,
he was quite a good cricketer.
Yeah, he went and played cricket and represented, part of the...
Your suburb?
The street. I can't even remember, Metro South.
Part of Brisbane.
Part of Brisbane. So, he did all right. And we never ever played backyard cricket. I had to teach him how to bowl because he was unco. Because it's a skill. But then he was, he played in the state titles. So he did pretty well. And again, you know, he then had all the gear. And he still goes and plays in the Nets now.
Yeah.
Every now and then. It's a bit like anything. He's got the gear for just about anything and everything. So, But with that's us playing cricket. Now, when you were a backyard cricket player, who were you? Because we all were someone. And when I say that, you know, we'd go, oh, I'm Viv Richards, or, you know, I'm Alan Border, or Dennis Lilly, whoever was coming in for a fast bowl. And that's, we'd always be someone. So we'd always pick a team. And, you know, the big teams for us when I was growing up, obviously Australia, West Indies, and Sri Lanka and India.
Pakistan, probably Pakistan, more than Sri Lanka. So, occasionally you'd see the English. And in those days, apartheid was still happening, so you never saw South Africa.
Never saw South Africa and New Zealand, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and New Zealand were good. Well, New Zealand are number one team in the world at the moment, so they're still pretty good. But
they had that horrible beigey, brownie, beigey colour.
Yeah, it's now with the a classic retro sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was a light brown with a dark brown.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
I don't know who I was, really. I always, I think Alan Border, probably. I always liked Alan Border. I don't know. My dad, because we lived in New South Wales, my dad always thought that the entire New South Wales team should have been the test team, regardless of how good anybody else was. Much was his beliefs with everything. Always hated Queenslanders being in there. But, you know, I always liked Kim Hughes, who was who was a, you know, second, third drop batsman, and he was the captain for a while. And so we're going back to the late 70s, early 80s here. Bowlers, I don't know, I was always fiercely Australian. I always sort of thought, you know, you need to be Australian. The kid that lived down the road, who was about 4 years younger than me, always wanted to be the West Indies, and the West Indies were his favorite team, and he didn't care about Australia. And I thought, I almost thought that was treason. I thought there was, you know, grounds for lynching there, but no, he didn't change his mind. Always liked West Indies best, and West Indies were the superstars at the time. It was before they used to all get stolen up by basketball and, you know, move to the States, so they actually all went into cricket. And amazingly talented players in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, some of the greatest cricketers in the world still West Indian, but they're just not as prolific as they used to be.
The, you know, you've got Viv Richards, Vivian Richards, you've got Joel Garner as the bowler, you know, so that was if we, because we had to pick teams, obviously, and we weren't ever allowed to be the same teams. And of course, there was forever someone would be some, you know, second rate team, like, I don't know, the Easter Islands or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So, always, Australia, you'd always, for web bowling, was Dennis Lilly, obviously, and then, either Alan Border or
Greg Chappell was another
one. Greg Chappell, yeah, but I again was, you know, always Alan Border / Dennis Lilly. And if you're ever a wicket keeper, you're Rodney Marsh.
Oh, absolutely. And Rodney Marsh died the day before Shane Warne, actually. It sort of stole a bit of the thunder, which was
the
whole situation was unfortunate. But, you know, Rodney Marsh sort of unfortunately got a little bit swept under there because it was such a huge story that Shane Warne died so unexpectedly. But Rodney Marsh was iconic, you know, that big mustache. And in some of the things you used to hear him say on the stump mics before they ever got canny enough to be able to bleep things out or turn the mics off, he used to say some amazingly atrocious things into the microphones. But yeah, it was always in good fun. They were never vindictive or nasty, anything like that. And I think he was fairly well regarded. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You wanted to be Rod Marsh as a wicket keeper.
And it was, you know, always what I look forward to. So there was only, for me, there was two types of cricket back when I was a kid. There were your test matches, which you never watched. I know that's sacrilege to you.
Did you see that look? Yeah. My eyes nearly popped out of my head when you said that.
Yep. I'd rather have watched paint dry back in the day. I'm being honest here. And
I can tell. hurtful.
Yeah, I know. And no disrespect to you or anyone else out there or your dad or anyone who loved the test. But it was the one-day matches, which was 50 overs apiece. And for me, that was cricket for me, you know, the day-nighters and things
well,
like that.
Well, it's a bit like T20 has done now. It reinvigorated cricket for the masses, for the younger people and people that didn't want to sit for 5 days and watch a test match. And yes, that's right. If you're not familiar with cricket, test match cricket goes for 5 days. It was good. It was, you know, the colourful uniforms and it was the white ball and the day-night games that sort of first started. It was, it was really good. And heavily commercialised.
Very commercialised. And do you remember what was the sponsors back in the day?
Benson and Hedges.
That's right.
Yeah, Benson and Hedges. And then all the
beers.
You know, VBs. All the beers, VB, Forex, all those sorts of alcohol companies around the site as well.
Yep. And now, you know, you can't even mention that where you get kicked off the football team for having a vape these days. To me, that was ultimate. And I love the one days. And I have to admit, we used to sort of, my dad, who was not a massive cricket fan, actually liked to watch the, especially the day-nighters, because he was out all day and then came home and he'd watch the cricket at night. And
yeah. But do you remember back in the day, you know, teams used to get, it was always considered you were doing well if you got about 210. And if you ever saw a team score 300, which was six runs and over, they were going off their heads. It was the biggest thing that you ever saw. And you very rarely ever saw a team score over 300. Nowadays, with the way they play, with the size of the bats and the way the fields are brought in and the game's all changed, you know you're in for a flogging if you don't score at least 300. And some teams have scored up to 430 in 50 overs. That's just ridiculous. And been beaten when they've scored that many runs. You're on a flogging as a bowler, I'll tell you.
Well, yeah, because when you look at how the game has changed, you're right. The bats are probably half the size wider again than what they used to be. Mm. And I remember the old, I think Viv Richards had the Grey Nicks and he had the double scoop, and it was this whole single scoop, double scoop, quadruple scoops, and they were cutouts on the back. So to get a little bit more sort of spring off the ball. But
and they were iconic. They were the bats to have. If you had one of them, you must have been a serious cricketer.
Serious cricketer and lots of money.
And never played them in the backyard.
Oh, no. See, we didn't have, because as I said, you know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. So I remember only having one bat in all of our lives. And after that, we used to use bits of wood. And we used to
cut a fence paling.
Yep. And we used to use tomato trellising sticks. So they're about maybe three and a half inches wide and about an inch. And then you'd get one that had broken because you couldn't cut a good one. And then from there, you know, it was you'd have your own, and you know, I remember writing Grey Nicholas down one of them, and one of them had, like, it must have been part of the way it had been cut, and it actually broke sort of off, so it was sort of was thick in the middle, came up halfway, and then started tapering off, so that was like the handle, and you know,
it's like it was forged by God
himself,
for your hands, yeah.
So you imagine hitting a tennis ball. The tennis ball was as wide, or every now and then we use a cricket ball just for
when we mess you up.
And we weren't allowed to bowl fast, and I say that loosely, and it was only from about 10 metres away. So we only remember only ever having one bat, and, you know, and that when that was busted, That was it. We used these. So as you can imagine, you've got a stick. So when I did get to play with the bat, I was a bit I could always hit the ball because I was so used to using a small, fairly small. So, but it was just, I didn't have too many shots in my repertoire. It was either back at the bowler or out to the onside, because we've never allowed to hit it on the offside because the shed was out. So that's what we had. But I tell you what, we used to do some silly things, like we'd throw the ball and try and do classic catches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Classic catches was always a competition every year that they'd have to show the best catches, and then you would everyone would ring up, you know, text messaging. Then you'd ring up and vote for who you wanted. And it usually cost about 50 cents a call or something like that, which was quite outrageous. And you'd vote for the one you'd have in the hope of winning. What did they used to win? Was it an era for a car or anything like that in it?
Probably a carton of beer back in the day, and a carton of cigarettes.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
But we used to do classic catches in the backyard too. So, but what I used to do is make sure I threw it just wide enough, especially for my younger brother. So he'd try and always dive, and I'd make it so it was just out of his reach.
Yeah.
And I go, no, you've got to come back and do it again.
Yeah, and put it on the concrete. Yeah.
And just, you know, you're just always out of reach. And then if he did it out of reach once, you just go, oh, I'm not doing this. No, I'll do it better. And he'd always throw it near you, but I'd always throw it wide enough. So he'd be getting blood on his knees and everything, trying to do these classic catches. And then you ever go to the creek and you've got a tennis ball, or to a pool, and you'd be doing classic catches into the water, running and diving and trying to catch a ball going into it, like you were doing some sort of classic. If you could all see what I'm seeing, all I can see is Dave and a cat's tail in front of his face. It's a calendar cat. He's showing a date.
he's decided that he's going to be friendly. We've got a kitten, so he's been a little bit more standoffish, but the kitten's gone to bed, so he's being a little bit more friendly. Anyway, we keep him in of a night time, so he wants to go out, but he can't. So, yes. Anyway,
so
you were talking about torturing your brother.
No,
you finished there.
Yeah, finished. I got distracted. It was very, very trance like, you know, with that tail
swishing around backwards and forwards.
Yeah. So how did you go?
Good.
I'm sure. Your dad being a cop, so at work and shift work or Monday to Friday sort of stuff, in the afternoons, was it just your mates, or did you make your sisters go out and play cricket with you?
Oh, no, they hate cricket. They were not interested at all, and, you know, no. My mum used to always come out and play occasionally. She was pretty good. But, you know, there was always neighbourhood kids. There was three or four because a lot of the other cops' kids would come and play. There was probably four or five other boys around that would come and play. So we would, and our yard was the biggest. So we would always usually congregate there just because we could. Usually every afternoon in summer we would do that. And then in winter it'd be kick a soccer ball around, and yeah, it was good.
Nice. I can remember, and I'm going to tell you a story now about me being at school. And I look back at it now and I go, if you did that these days, you'd be taken away in handcuffs. Anyway.
You want to tell it?
Yeah. Mm. We were in about grade four or five, and our teacher was one of the cricket coaches, and he had the cricket bag in, and he was mucking around in doing something in the cricket bag, and we were too busy talking. And so I was turned around, not noticing what he was doing. Next minute, fair in the middle of my back was the wooden mallet to knock the stumps in, straight in the middle of my back from the teacher, just whack.
Why? Because you weren't paying attention.
Because I wasn't paying attention.
Mm.
So he was
brutal.
Brutal, and this was the type of teacher that'd throw a duster at you, even if you're in the first row.
I had a teacher that used to chuck bits of chalk at you.
But, this guy was throwing dusters, mate, and using When I say wooden mallet, it was like a exactly
little croquet mallet type thing, yeah,
to knock in the wickets. So because I wasn't paying attention after that, every time I see him milling around with that bag, I paid attention. But like I said, these days he'd be up on charges and out of his job. But
you know. So do you watch cricket now?
Yeah, I watch. Still watch. I actually have to say I've started watching some of the tests. Mm-hmm. And I say when I was a kid, I didn't like this short attention span. To me, it was just as boring because it'd take all the TV shows off for 5 days.
Yeah. Yep.
So I actually, even at work, because there's TVs in the wards, so I make sure that at least the cricket's on in the background. I like watching at least the first couple of overs of every test and every morning and after lunch, after their breaks and going into the evening. So I actually don't mind watching it. Mm. I won't sit there all day and watch it. Mm. The one days I like, and in the 2020s, I don't mind. You know, that's just
2020s is a bit like backyard cricket, really. It's just hit as hard as you can and hope for the best. And, you know, they've got specialists that just play that game now where you've only got to be able to bowl four overs and, you know, bowl them as quick as you can. And then you're done for the night. You've earned your money. And look, it's got its place. I think we probably play a bit too much cricket now, but I certainly love the Australian version, the Big Bash. Although it's been on a bit of a decline in the last few years, it's sort of getting a bit much the same as the same. But, yeah, I don't mind it, but I still love Test cricket more than anything else and try to go to it as often as we can.
I'd actually go and watch a Test with you, Dave.
Yeah. Well, we don't get many. We got one last year down here in Hobart because of the COVIDs prevented it from going to Perth. But I've gone and watched Test cricket in every venue in Australia, any of the big venues. And I think I'm going to start in the, you know, at some point when travel opens up and cost of living isn't too bad, is to go and have a look at some in New Zealand as well.
Nice.
So, yeah. But, yeah, well, man, always welcome. And you've got one of the premier grounds in that always gets a test every year in the Gabba at Brisbane. So it's worthwhile doing, if, you know, even if you do it once. The issue is when you go to England and places like that, our venues will take about 40,000 people, give or take. Most of the venues, obviously, in Hobart, I think it takes about 18,000, which is why we don't get big games here. But the venues around take between 40 and 60,000. And of course the MCG takes 105,000, which is our biggest venue in the US. I know with the stadiums they've got over there, that's probably nothing. But when you go to the UK, the home of cricket, to watch cricket, they have dedicated cricket grounds where they don't play other matches on there. And they've got some iconic, very old clubs and very old grounds there, but they only take about 20, between 15 and 25,000. And so the cost of getting into a day's cricket, especially when Australia or South Africa play, you know, is exorbitant amounts of money, you know, $150-$160 just to get through the gate if you can get a ticket. So, it's not a cheap outing anymore, unfortunately, like most professional sports sort of become, going to any of these sorts of venues. I pity people that have to go to that would like to take their three or four kids to the football or to the cricket or to the, you know, any of those sorts of sports that are popular, because you don't get out of it for under $200 or $300, and then you got to feed them, and then you got to buy trinkets and knickknacks and stuff like that. So yeah, it's not a cheap adventure anymore. And realistically with the, here's old man Dave coming through, but I guess now with the advent of high-def television and on-demand and streaming, because that was the other thing. I'll finish that note. With the high-def television, now you actually get a better view in your own home with your own air conditioning, so it's not stiflingly hot sitting in the sun with decent food and a decent clean toilet that other people haven't destroyed.
It's the toilet that really gets to you, isn't it?
It's the only place in the world that you have to line up as a male to go to the toilet. Sporting venues. But, you know, it was also the thing that when the cricket was on in your local city, if the game wasn't sold out, they didn't show it on television to try and encourage people to actually go to the match. And it was only when it was a declared sellout before the gates opened that they would show it. Nowadays, you can watch it. You could be living outside the ground with nobody in there and you can still watch it with your streaming services.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I don't know. I'd have to take your word on all that because I haven't been to a match. So I know I think I'd have to give it a go. I know Dirk goes to the cricket. He goes to the test matches.
I'm not discouraging people. If you just want to do it as a one-off, as a day out, it's a great day out. It's just that there is the possibility there if you've got it like a young family that you want to take for the experience. And if you don't live in the city and you have to actually stay overnight, it becomes a pretty expensive adventure. But, oh, look, more than worth the money, usually, especially if you're not paying for it, like the kids.
That's right, because I think a bottle of water is like $8 or $9. They try they hit, and yeah, you're right. So I suppose I've got to experience it at some stage, so I'll do
that. Yeah, I'll come up in the summer and we'll do it.
Sounds good. So cricket, love it better now or back in the day?
It was more of a novelty back in the day because you had to make the effort to get there. You had to make the effort to see it. If you wanted to see it in person, the atmosphere and everything like that was there. Otherwise, you had to watch it on TV, and the TVs were small, and the picture wasn't great, and you had to put up with the irritating commentators. But it was a novelty; it was an adventure to get there. Now everything's just on tap, but I think the quality is better. There's a lot more excitement. But, you know, I think it's just like everything. It was good then. It's good now. It's just the changing of the game. So I still love it. It's the game I probably love more than anything else. So, yeah, I think it's still good. But I did enjoy it back in the day as well.
Look, if I was to be honest, I think, you know, the cricket through the 80s and 90s, which, you know, for me was sort of – it was more that family watching with the family and stuff like that. I really enjoyed it. We've had some brilliant cricketers from our country, as you know, and still do at the moment. You know, it's one of our predominant sports in this country. You know, America's got baseball, we've got cricket. So for me, I think we've got some really great talent here, but I sort of, even though the 2020s there, and you know, you got the IPL and the Big Bash here in Australia. The IPL's the Indian Premier League. I still prefer the one dayers to watch, and I actually don't mind having a bit of a look at the test matches, and don't mind having it on in background, even at home here.
Yeah,
but it just brings back a lot more memory, and it's
a bit more
raw back in the day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it wasn't as polished, and you could still watch people sitting on the hill with their Eskies and their Terry Towling hats.
Well, look at Booney, you know, you're having a beer and they'll be having a beer and a smoke up in the dressing rooms. You know, and probably having a pie before they go down and a sausage roll, you know, on the way down. And Hughesy, you know, all of those guys, you look at it now, you know, everyone's a polished athlete, and that's great.
Got to have vegan options in a six pack.
Yeah. So I just look at that and go, I think, you know, the character back in the day, the rawness of it, I think was, you know, the streakers. The streakers, you know, you'd always be watching it and hoping there'd be a streaker come out, and the camera, there'd be always one dirty cameraman that'd follow them all the way. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, now they don't show them because it's a $6,000 fine.
It's an offense,
plus life ban, a $6,000 fine, and they won't show you on TV anyway. They just turn the camera away, but the commentators will still talk about it. And the thing about it is there's like, for a crowd of say 40,000, there's about 12 security guards around the outside of the perimeter. I'm sure, I don't know what they'd do if they decided to storm the ground.
Nothing, probably tell them to get back.
Yeah, take your fluoro off and join in, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's the safest option.
And you look back in the day, everyone used to run on the field and try and run out and grab the stumps or the bales, or you'd see them running through and nicking people's bats off them.
Mm.
Nowadays, you go on the field, your mugshot's set up and go.
Yeah, and the cameras are looking for you and they've traced your mobile phone and anyway. Oh, well, all right. All right, mate. Well, on that note, if you've got any comments on cricket, if you would like to share your thoughts, if you have a favourite cricketer that you'd like to tell us about, onceforschoolpodcast@gmail.com, send us your thoughts and, we'll go from there. So, Wee, thanks for that one. That was a good topic. We got a bit more out of it than I thought we would.
You'd love it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I did. I did. We still got to do the threatened nursing ghost stories that we talked about a couple of episodes ago. So we'll come up with a few of them. Yeah. Cool. All right, buddy. Well, look after yourself. And to you out there listening, thanks for listening. Tell a friend and hopefully we'll be back talking to you fairly soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.